Jared, is that third quarter was unfolding? How are you handling that on the sideline, being over there for as long as you
were? Best way I know how. Just wait to go in.
Have you gotten a better understanding in the days since talking to Mel, talking to others?
No, we haven't really talked about it, so it is what it is. The rotation happened that way, I guess, and we'll move on to New England.
Do you see it as an aberration or the beginning of maybe some type of reduced playing time?
It's probably an aberration. They haven't told me I'm on reduced playing time, so we'll just take it for that.
What's the toughest thing about defending Tom Brady?
Breaking his rhythm. They're so well balanced that. You know, as good as Tom is, they really don't ask him, watching film, they don't ask him to do everything, you know. They have a solid run game. I mean, their intermediate pass game is on point. And, obviously he's very capable of putting the team on his shoulders and bringing them back. And you've seen him do it plenty of times and having those games. But, I mean, I think he's at his best when, he's in, second to mediums, check down to intermediate, throws, and they got a good running game. Because I mean, at that point, how do you defend him? I mean, he's going to throw the ball on time, accurately to the right person.
What stands out about that intermediate passing game that makes it quick?
I mean, I don't want to say they're high percentage throws. I mean, he makes them high percentage. I mean, he's obviously. One of the best quarterbacks they ever play for a reason. But I think that's what it is. I mean, it creates low turnover opportunities. It allows Tom to put the ball where he wants it, where only his guys can get it. They can create mismatches with Gronk on backers and stuff like that. And, their system works. He's been in the system for 30 years, it seems like. And they got it all covered.
Chiefs getting out of that rhythm, and is that kind of any kind of a template for
you guys to follow? I haven't watched the Chiefs game, so I don't know. And from just a quick glance or what I've heard, I mean, the Chiefs, they blitz a lot. You know what I'm saying? I'm assuming, again, I didn't watch the game, so I'm assuming they were probably minus. I think if I looked at the chart, they were minus on the turnover rate. So I mean, if you can create turnovers and you can turn those turnovers into points, yeah. Now you can, just like any team, you can force them. You force them to become one-dimensional. You force them down the field. And then, with Tom, we got to figure out a way to get him off his spot. We can't allow him to sit back there, pat the ball, and be rhythmic. And when you can't stop the run and you allow them to play action, you allow them second and short, you allow them to give you, run looks and throw the ball down the field, that creates problems up front where you have to now play the run and then convert to pass, and he has time to be in rhythm. So we have to find a way to get them into some third down situations where we can dictate pressure to him and get them off the spot and force him to pat the ball and try to create a little havoc.
The Patriots have an impressive home record. From your experience, how much of a factor is the home crowd? How much is just familiarity?
Typically, it's huge. Traveling, having to be the traveling team is always hard. You got hotels, you're just – uncomfortable surroundings, you're going into a place where your offense now has noise, and defensively you don't have that, you don't have the crowd support rooting on for big plays, so typically home field is an advantage, and so we're gonna have to grind through it, and New England does it better than just about anybody. So very rarely do they get beat on their own field, but it's still the National Football League, and you see bizarre things happen every week, and we've been playing well on the road, so we just got to prepare and we got to go in. And again, you can't look at it as we're going to face Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots. We have to look at it as we're going to play a football game and we have to win situational battles and we have to win the turnover margin. If we can do that, we have a chance to win the game.
Jared, leadership has been a topic here, especially after the last game and stuff like that. And this is a team that really doesn't have a singular leader. I don't think that's the way Mark likes it. But are you just too new here to kind of be a guy to step up and be a singular leader and let people take your lead?
I don't want this to sound bad, but I kind of, we talk about lead. I mean, what does that look like to people? I think we have great leaders here. I think we have guys leaders don't necessarily have to stand up in the podium and make some big speech. Matter of fact, if someone gets up every week and has to have, a coach is out, that's lame, honestly. Like, that's what's that going to do? That's rah-rah. Leadership comes from the guys that show up every week, go out and work during practice. They earn their playbook. They know what they're doing. They go out on Sunday, and they give it everything they got. So, I mean, leaders, in my opinion, you don't know what they do. You don't know what's said behind closed doors to someone. You don't know if someone's struggling, a true leader will go and talk to them in private and pull them out. Leaders have, guys that are so-called leaders, they got their own struggles. Those are guys that can just push through. So, I've never been huge on needing to be needing a team or being personally being an out front vocal leader. But, I would assume people respect me for the fact that I show up and I work. And I've been around this league long enough. I've had enough success in this league to where if I need to talk to somebody, I can. And I think I have that respect as a teammate. And so I think that's what we do well at this team is, so I would say we have good leadership. Maybe from the outside looking in, you guys are looking for a vocal person, with an S on his chest to do something. But those aren't the guys typically I find people respond to.
But given that definition, do you envision yourself having a greater leadership role as you become more familiar and become more kind of vested?
I'm a firm believer. I go about my business, and if people see me working hard, they're going to work hard. Just like if I see. The NFL is funny. It's a hierarchy. At least, the NFL I've always been a part of is a hierarchy system, When I see a guy who's been in it longer than when I was in Minnesota, there's days, there's days you don't want to practice. Well, I looked over and saw Kevin Williams, who's got a year ahead of me, I look out and I see Lance Briggs and Peanut out there busting their hump in practice. Well, guess what? They're older than me, so I got to go do it. And I think that's kind of the way you lead is if I'm the old guy on the team and people see me out there working hard, the young guy's got no excuse. I don't have to say anything. And at the same time, I got to do what I got to do to prepare to get ready. And if people see, you can look on the team and see, you see guys in the fourth quarter, and we always laugh and joke and say, field goal block is really where you see which guys are all in. Because you just get scored on. Who's going to give it all on field goal block? And you see guys on our team, field goal block, still getting off the ball. We're down, 14 or whatever it is, still trying to block things on PATs and stuff like that. So, I think that message is clear. We have great practices. There's no lump. Bottom line is we didn't win situational battles. And I know people like to think football is more complicated than it is, but it really comes down to is don't turn the ball over, get turnovers, stop the run, and if you can disrupt the opposing team's quarterback a little bit, you got a good chance to win.
Eric, you talked about not standing up to giving speeches, but how about on the other end, after a game, can yelling in the locker room, can throwing emotion in the locker room, can that help the team at all?
Yeah, I think everybody expresses themselves differently. You should be angry after a loss. We're not here to... You get numb to it in the NFL, I think, just because, there's been two teams that won all their games, so you expect some adversity somewhere along the lines. Coaches coach for we're going to have an adverse moment. But, yeah, I respect emotion. That's raw. It's real. So guys get emotional, great. There's always a fine line, and from someone just spouting off and acting crazy, but... That sure as heck didn't happen in our locker room. That was just raw, good emotion. So I respect guys like that. I respect guys who have passion for the game. Everybody handles things differently. The bottom line is that can't linger. You got to come back and go to work, If that frustration turns into motivation, that's great. But if it turns into, shutting down, then obviously that's a different avenue you got to try to avoid.
During your time in Kansas City and Minnesota, who besides Kevin did you see as a guy that you were in?
Oh man, Eric Hicks taught me so much about this league when I was in Kansas. He was I used to call him Papa Bear. That dude, he taught me the ins and outs. Willie Rofe was instrumental in my development of how to break down an offensive lineman. I believe Willie Rofe is the greatest offensive lineman to ever play. Obviously, I didn't get to play against Anthony Munoz and all those guys, but it goes on. Trent Green, to watch the way he led, and that's where I learned it. Sean Barber was another guy. One of the persons I respect the most was Vonnie Holiday. When I beat him out for his job, he called me himself and was like, "Hey, your 20 plays are better than my 40. You got my job. I'm still coming after." But it was just showed you that pecking order, how to do things. And when you watch older guys compete and practice, and I can name Will Shields. To a whole list, Brian Waters, all those guys along the. When I got there, true, what I would call true pros. And in Kansas City, in Minnesota, I had Kevin, I had Pat Williams, You know, Chad Greenway is one of the hardest, you know, he's younger than me, but he's one of the hardest practicing dudes on the team. You got to have respect for that. I had Hutch over there. And then when we had Brett, you know, a lot of, you know, the mystique and the, or that's not even the word, but I guess the persona of Brett was so big, and you kind of wonder, like, how did this guy get? But that dude, I mean, there'd be nights 10:30 at night, you know, he'd still be at the facility, and you just saw the work ethic he put in. Guys like Tony Gonzalez, Tony, I mean, every catch he's ever made in his career that I've seen him make in practice. You know, that dude catches 100 balls a day in practice on the jugs or whatever it is. So those are the guys that taught me and showed me and that, you know what, no matter where you're at in your career, you just keep working. You just keep working. And that's what pays off. You know, you see guys that have a flash in the pants year. You know, they're up one year, they're down the next. True greatness is built out of consistency is what they always taught me. And the only way you're going to be consistent is to continually work the details. And, you know, that's all I ever know.